Good morning, everyone. And good morning to everybody online. If you're watching online, you still have time to get here. We have heat in the church, and it's so comfortable. You're going to want to get here. It's amazing. So, and for those of you who came, I hope you're warm. I hope you thawed out from being outside. We had a Robbie's trunk show that was like clothing and stuff up, and it was amazing. It was up in the gathering room last week. They raised $1,200 for our children's ministry, which is amazing. It's amazing. And today we have a bake sale. Actually, there's two people that just bought baked goods, and they brought them in to show you. There's a bake sale out here in the hallway. You don't want to miss it. Again, if you're watching online, you still have time to get here in between services for the next service and buy some baked goods. It's from the United Methodist Women. You can buy things, take it to Thanksgiving, and act like you made it. It's perfect. It's a win-win. Okay? You help missions, and you can act like you made something. You have several ways that you can help with Thanksgiving this year. You can donate money for cakes that are going to be given out, slices of cake at the venue for a community Thanksgiving. Also, our youth, children, and families are volunteering this Wednesday from 10 to 12 at the venue. Any age group's welcome to join us, though. That's 10 to 12 on Wednesday at the venue. Or you can go at 1 o'clock at the venue to help cut the cakes that our church helps sponsor. So you can do that as well on Wednesday. December 4th is our children's Christmas musical at 3 p.m. It's going to be great as always. December 22nd at 5:30 here in the sanctuary, we are going to have Christmas in Gadsden. They're going to have cookies and carols. They're going to have hot chocolate out here in the hallway. Really, really good cookies. We have a lot of food around here, have you noticed? But it's going to be great. And you can invite all your friends to that. We want to invite people that are not a part of our church to join us that night. Our Wednesday night classes are not meeting this Wednesday night as we're getting ready for Thanksgiving, but join us the week after that. It's amazing. It's amazing. And Harriet Murray would love to tell you to go to her class, that it's better than Mark Condra's class. Is that right? So you want to join one of those. And again, we have, don't forget, this is the biggest announcement. There's a bake sale in the hallway. And let's pray. Loving God, we are so thankful that we can come together and worship. We thank you that there's awesome bake sale food too. God, I pray that you'll calm our hearts and our minds and help us focus on you. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand and worship with us?
Thank you. Well, we have so much to be thankful for. It's easy to see during this time, but I will just say thankful and good morning to you. Thankful to see all of your faces here on this wonderful warm morning, right? Yeah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the
His holy name. Sing like never Good morning. Y'all may be seated. Our children are about to go with Miss Catherine to the children's church. Michael McKibben's going to go with them. No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad that you're here. I want to remind you just, hey, sweetie. I want to remind you, if you have a chance, please sign the attendance registration pads. We've put them back out after not having them out for a couple of years because of the COVID things. And it helps us to know who's here. And if you have any changes in your address or email or phone number or anything like that, it helps us to keep up with you and keep in touch with you. If you're worshiping by live stream, then say hello and let us know where you're worshiping from and go and be connected to our church website and download our church app so that we can keep in touch with you that way. We have a time that we always set aside for prayer and for giving. So I want to have you send your prayer request, of course, to us, and we pray for those. But I also want to show you something. This is going to be something that you're probably going to be getting in the mail this week. This is our generosity campaign for 2023. I'm going to have to get used to saying 2023. Our theme is Strength for Today and Bright Hope for Tomorrow. It's a line from Great is Thy Faithfulness, one of my favorite hymns. And this is what we really need. This is kind of really a critical time in the life of our church and the United Methodist Church as a whole. We need strength for today. We need just help to just keep going. But if you'll notice, if you look at the poster, because the artwork on this is tremendous, it's a tree of life, and it's got butterflies coming out of the top, and that's a reminder of what we're trying to be: a butterfly-friendly church, right? We're trying to be a place that has bright hope for tomorrow. Okay, things that look kind of caterpillary right now will turn into butterflies. We need your help. We need your support. We need your giving, of course. And this is just a way for you to let us know as the finance team prepares for budget considerations. We need your prayers, and most of all, we need you to be engaged. We need you to be plugged in. And thank you in advance for helping with that. I want to call your attention to these gorgeous flowers over here. Kaylin's our spokesmodel today. She's going to be pointing to this. She's standing right by this. These beautiful flowers are in memory of James Condra, who shares the same birthday as me, which was yesterday. It's not too late, by the way. If you have that birthday present you forgot to give me, it's not too late. But James and I share the same birthday, and his family remembers him every year. And aren't those gorgeous flowers? Look at our altar setting today with the Horn of Plenty and the Thanksgiving. Well, I didn't do that, but somebody did, and it's beautiful, and I'm thankful for that. All right, let's pray. God, we are thankful as we remember the multitude of blessings that you pour out upon us. We're thankful that we can lift our voices to worship you today and lift our hearts to you and to bring all of our needs before you, knowing of your great love for us and for those that are important to us. God, sometimes our needs are just so deep that we need the Holy Spirit's to help to even pray. So that being the case, Lord, just see the tears that we shed and hear the groans of our heart. Take what we have to give you today, Lord. Take our tithes and our offerings. Take our very lives and use them for your glory. We ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen.
You're an altar of broken stones, but you delight in the offering. You have the heavens to call your home, but you delight in the song we sing. 10,000 angels surround your throne, bring you praise that will never cease. Let hallelujah from here below is still your favorite melody. We sing
So as I said, yesterday was my birthday, and I'm at this point, it's just a matter of Thanksgiving, you know. And I went to my mom's yesterday, and I walked in, and I hugged my mom, and I said, "Mama, do you know what you were doing 62 years ago today?" And my mother, who is amazing and who's 90 years old, said, "Yeah, I was watching the doctor about to slap your behind." So yeah, now you see why I'm thankful that I can still share those moments with my mom. The scripture today on this Christ the King Sunday is Luke 23, verses 33 through 43. So hear the reading of Gospel. When they came to the place that was called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who was hanging there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we're just getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to them, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was a kid, I remember singing a hymn, and it's still in our hymns, number 288 in our hymnal. It's, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Y'all remember that song? You remember singing that song? And it's funny how you think about, when you've been in church your whole life like me, it's funny how you think about the way you think about hymns from when you're a kid and then when you're a teenager and then later on. And when I was a kid, and we sang that song, and I would think about, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" And I thought, that was a long, long time ago. And then I looked around, and I could see some people in the church that I was convinced were so old that they were there 2,000 years ago when the crucifixion happened. I was just convinced that they must have been. And then later on, when I was a teenager, and I could think just a little bit more about that, I thought, this is just a dumb hymn, because nobody was there 2,000 years ago. That's a long, long time ago. Why are we even singing this? But since then, I've kind of come to understand that in a way we were all there, because this isn't just a story about Jesus and about some criminals and about some watchers and some mockers. It's our story too. Because we were there. We were there in the deepest way possible. This is Christ the King Sunday. In case you have forgotten, or in case you have never known, we follow the Christian year. And what that means is that in the United Methodist Church, we not just on Easter and not just on Christmas, but all throughout the year, we remember the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus and all of the things that happened in Jesus' life, because we're about proclaiming Jesus. And it goes all the way throughout the year. And then at the beginning of the Christian year, which is the first Sunday of Advent, which is next Sunday. So next Sunday when you come, we're going to have the Christmas tree up. We're going to have the Advent wreath and all of that stuff. So that's the beginning of the Christian year. But the pinnacle of the Christian year is what we just read from the Gospel of Luke. It is remembering that Christ is King. And the implications that go along with Christ being King is, well, first of all, this is common sense. If Christ is King, I am not King. I know that's so disappointing. If, you know, I don't get to be king. Even monarchs, I know some countries have kings and queens as their monarch, as the leader of their country. No earthly monarch is really king or queen or the supreme sovereign. of the universe. That distinction belongs to Christ, who is King. I think the greatest description of this is in Colossians chapter 1. I want to read these words to you. Colossians chapter 1. Listen to what Paul says beginning in verse 15. He, talking about Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and earth were created. Things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might have first place in everything. For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The most grand and glorious picture of the King of Kings. But it's a different kind of king we see in Jesus. And we kind of get a hint of that in verse 20 in Colossians 1 that I just read. Listen to it again. Through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Making peace through the blood of his cross? I'm sorry, but that doesn't sound like an ordinary king, does it? A king is supposed to be powerful enough to keep himself from being executed in the first place. A king is supposed to be in control, right? To be able to save his people from their troubles. A king is supposed to defeat all the enemies and to rule supreme over them and with his boot on their neck, so to speak. Isn't that what people expected from the long-awaited Messiah? And when Jesus rode into town on Palm Sunday and the people cried, Hosanna, wasn't that what they were thinking? Because Hosanna actually means save us now. But Jesus is not that kind of king. Jesus is a different kind of king. Instead of a golden and jeweled crown, what kind of crown was Jesus given? He was given a crown of thorns. Instead of a royal banner with his royal crest on it, he had a crude wooden sign nailed to the cross that said, "This is the King of the Jews." Instead of leading soldiers into battle, this king was led by soldiers to an ugly hill called the Hill of the Skull, Golgotha. And instead of a throne to sit on, they gave him a cross to be hung on. Instead of being surrounded by the knights of the round table or something like that, he had a thief on each side of him. No, this is a different kind of king. And the beautiful paradox that is the truth of the gospel is that in Christ the King, what seems to all the world like a horrible defeat is the ultimate victory. By dying this cruel death on the cross, Jesus triumphed. He triumphed, defeating hate by love, defeating death by resurrection. Christ is King. Present that day, I'm thinking about the hymn, "Were You There?" Which makes me think today as a grown-up, who was there? You know, that day that Jesus was crucified. There were some that I call just the watchers, you know, the watchers. All sorts of people. Some were just curious. Some of them may have been kind of compelled by the soldiers to go and see this public execution. Some of the watchers are, we don't know their names, but we do know some of them who were watching. We know that Jesus' mother, Mary, was there and her two sisters. And there were two other Marys. Apparently, Mary was a common name back then. There was Mary, wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene, according to John chapter 19. John himself was there, standing by Mary's side. We know that because on the cross, Jesus looked at at John and said, take care of my mama. Also in the crowd was a large number of people who had followed him. Some of them his disciples, probably those that were just following, not sure what to make of all this. Luke calls it a great multitude. He also says that many women were among them. The women were always the first to get there and the last to leave, by the way. There were Roman soldiers who were there, who were watching. We know at least one centurion was there, because there was that one centurion that, when Jesus died, said, truly, this was the Son of God. And then there were the religious leaders, the chief priests and teachers of the law and the elders. And some of the soldiers, I think, fall in a different category. We have the watchers and the religious leaders and some of the soldiers. I'm putting in another character. They were the mockers. When I say, were you there when they crucified my Lord? There were mockers who were there. And they it seemed like there was like three different circles. There were those that kind of on the outside, the Jewish leaders who were talking loud enough for Jesus to hear him and saying, hey, aren't you supposed to be able to save yourself? Aren't you supposed to be the Messiah? Well, just come down from the cross and maybe we'll believe. Then there were soldiers. They had taken his garments and they were gambling for his garments. And they were a little bit closer. And they were also mocking him and taunting him. And then there was one of the criminals, one of the thieves that was on one side of him that was mocking him as well. The mocking was basically a challenge for Jesus to prove himself. To prove himself by showing off his power and saving himself. And you know what's so ironic about all of this, all of these mockers, the Jewish leaders and the soldiers and that one criminal, is that without realizing it, they were identifying who Jesus really was. They called him the Messiah of God. They called him the King of the Jews, the Chosen One. And the mocking, as cruel as it was, highlights the truth that we all know. That it is precisely because Jesus did not come down from the cross that we are all saved. So we have, were you there when they crucified my Lord? We have the watchers and we have the mockers and we have the criminals, the thieves on each side of the cross. One of them, like I said, was a mocker. Luke says that he kept on blaspheming him. And he was blaspheming him in that he was telling Jesus what to do. The other criminal, though, is one of the most compelling characters in the whole Bible to me. First off, he knows that he is guilty as homemade sin. You know, he's got no illusions about it. He's not saying, I was framed. He says as much. He says to the other guy when he rebukes the other criminal for deriding Jesus, he says, you know what, we're just getting what we deserve for our deeds. And then he also knows there's something different about Jesus. There's something innocent. There's something kingly about him. He knows Jesus is different. He says, this guy's done nothing wrong. And then he looks at Jesus and he says these words, as long as I live, I'll never get these words out of my mind. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The simplest kind of prayer you can give. So this one guy, you know, this one criminal is the one person in the story that really recognizes that Christ is king. Because he says, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Isn't that something? This guy, the reason I say he's so compelling is he has nothing to offer Jesus, you know? He can't say, Jesus, I'm going to be your biggest supporter, man. I'm going to be there with you. He can't promise to go to church next Sunday, can he? He can't promise to serve at soup kitchen. He can't promise to give a tithe of his income. He can't He has nothing to offer. And he just asked for mercy. Does this guy deserve mercy? No. But you know what? Mercy and grace is not something that any of us deserves. Is it? Here's what Jesus says to him. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Watchers, mockers, criminals, and the king. But this is our story too. I think I said that before. Jesus is still the king. And there are still watchers. And by that I mean there are more than just a few people who are just really kind of content to just observe at a distance. You know, just watch from a distance. Let other people get involved, right? You know, let other people serve. Let other people step in and help. I'm just going to watch, right? Let other people support the ministries. Let other people give financially. Let other people plug in and engage. I could afford to, honestly, I could afford to, but I think I'm just going to watch. Let somebody else stand up for justice in the community. Let somebody else call people out when they're trampling down others who are vulnerable. I really, you know, I'm busy. I don't have time. So like I said, there's still more than just a few watchers. And Lord have mercy on Sam, because I've been in that category too, haven't you? There's still mockers. There are still those who just want to tell Jesus what to do and what kind of king to be. There are still those who don't really go for a king that describes himself as the Prince of Peace. That they're all about the lion, but they don't want to be about the lamb who was slain for the redemption of the world. There are those who are mocking Jesus by using Jesus' name to fulfill their own agenda. That makes a mockery of Jesus. There are those who support something that has been called Christian nationalism. And it's a mockery of Jesus. It's an oxymoron. There are those who deny the deity of Jesus, which is a mockery of Jesus. There are those who deny the humanity of Jesus, which is a mockery of Jesus. There are those who want mercy for themselves, but want to be the gatekeepers for other people that they don't like and don't want to receive mercy, which is a mockery of Jesus. There are those who claim the name of Jesus to be Christians, but live lives that don't look anything like Jesus and behave and talk and do things that look absolutely nothing like Jesus, which if you think about it, makes a mockery of Jesus. And again, Lord, have mercy on Sam if I don't practice what I preach, if we don't reflect the Christ that we espouse. Christ the King. Christ the King is a transitional Sunday. It's why, if you notice the white pyramids today, it's a transitional season between one season and another season. It's a hopeful Sunday, because if Christ is King, that means hope. That means good news. You say, well, Pastor Sam, you've just been kind of like trouncing on our toes this morning. What do you mean there's hope and there's good news? Here's the hope and here's the good news. It's that we, all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we might as well be honest, because God knows our heart. We all can say that there have been times that we've fallen into the category of watchers or even mockers or even criminals. But the hope and the good news for us, brothers and sisters, is that we can all look at the crucified King of Glory and we can all still say, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Do I deserve it? Heck no. But mercy and grace isn't about what I deserve. It's about what God loves me enough to give me, to offer me. And will Jesus do that? Will Jesus still say, today you'll be with me in paradise? Will Jesus turn away anybody who comes to him and calls upon his name? Of course he will receive us. Of course he will. That's the kind of king we have. Let's pray. God, we are so very thankful that we have a king who is aware of our weaknesses and aware of all of our shortcomings, and yet who still invites us to come boldly before the throne to find grace, to find help in time of need. How unimaginable that we have a king who welcomes us simply by us saying, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for being the kind of king that loves us too much to let us just go on without the beautiful change from caterpillar to butterfly that you offer. Thank you for being our king. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand together as we worship?
Beside you, all around you, and within you.
Well, that was the UMYF benediction, in case y'all didn't know it. Did y'all recognize it? So just like we used to do when I was in UMYF, everybody cross your arms over like this, right over left, because if you're in a circle in MYF and then you like turn out of the circle, right? I don't want any torn rotator cuffs this morning, okay? All right, here's the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.